speaker is Shelby. Who? Okay, Colby. Colby, come on up here and share your experience with the host.
Okay. Is that right? Oh my God. Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'm Colby and I'm an addict. My clean date is December 12, 2016, and I'm really grateful for that. Since this is a newcomer, I was remembering my first exposure to Narcotics Anonymous. I can't talk when I'm nervous, by the way, so side note. And I was in an institution, a psych ward to be exact, and I really wish I could remember what was said or how I felt, but I don't. What I do remember, though, is looking back on it, that was when the seed of recovery was planted in my mind. I was 19 at the time, and after I got out, I remember my first meeting I went to willingly, and my disease likes to talk to me and tell me things that I know aren't true. It tells me I don't belong, it tells me I don't fit in, it tells me I'm too young to be in recovery, it tells me I'm not a real addict because of my age, and I know that's not true. So I picked up my white key tag, and I didn't stay clean, I kept using, but I also remember feeling like a sense of belonging when I went to that first meeting, and I wanted what those people had. So fast forward to time later and some more pain, I want to talk about the three indispensable spiritual principles, which is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. I was talking to a good friend of mine before the meeting, and he told me the definition of indispensable is absolutely necessary. So these principles are absolutely necessary in order to work a program. I didn't have honesty, nor open-mindedness, or willingness, obviously. And I relocated to Denton, Texas, up north. And I realized I had got a little bit of honesty, not just with people around me, but with myself. I realized, you know what, maybe I do have a problem. My life is pretty unmanageable, and I don't know what else to do. So I started going to meetings regularly. But the thing about it is, even though I had honesty and that denial was sort of lifted, I didn't have the willingness. And I can recall not being willing to have a sponsor, not being willing to work the steps, not being willing to work the program. I wanted to work a program. I wanted to work Kobe's program, not the program. So I couldn't figure out. I obviously ended up, I laugh when I hear people say the only wrong way to work the steps is by yourself, because I tried it. It doesn't work. So I got a sponsor, finally, after kicking and screaming, but I got a sponsor that would co-sign my bullshit, and I knew she would. I was not willing to take suggestions, and eventually, what that does is takes you back out. So I went back out. I relapsed on something that I also was not willing to admit was a drug, alcohol, and 2 weeks later, I was using my drug of choice again. So when they say it's progressive, it's progressive. And after going back out, I stayed out for a few months, and I got that gift of desperation you hear about, where you want to die so badly, and you will literally be willing to do anything to feel better about yourself. Like, I hated myself, y'all. I wanted to die so bad, like, I was a mess. I hated who I become. I hated who I was. I hated what I did. And I didn't know how to change. So I relocated again to Houston. I was now willing to work the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I got a sponsor that did not co-sign my bullshit. I still have that sponsor today. And I started working the steps with her the right way. I started taking suggestions from people. I started making friends connections that I still have, people I love very, very much. And I started reaching out to women because that was a suggestion made to me. And I was never really good with being friends with women, I guess because I was insecure with myself. So I made some really great friends with some really great women that I love so much. And all of this stuff has helped me stay clean since I moved to Houston. I got a home group. My home group is the 1960 group of Narcotics Anonymous. Indeed, represent. And I've been there for the past, 2.5 years. And I think with the willingness came the open-mindedness. I had to become open-minded that I didn't have all the answers, and I wasn't my own higher power. So one of the greatest gifts that this program has given me is a belief in a higher power, because I was so spiritually bankrupt. I had such a victim's mentality of, if there's a higher power out there, why me? Why me? All that bullshit. And I became open-minded that there is something greater than me. And I don't have all the answers, and it's okay not to have all the answers. So I think when I was first coming around, heard a lot about spiritual principles, and I heard them, but I didn't listen. And once I started listening to what honesty and open-mindedness and willingness, working the steps and calling my sponsor, utilizing my sponsor, utilizing my connections I made in the fellowship, my life gradually got better. And today, I live such an amazing life I'm so grateful for. I'm doing things with my life that I never saw myself doing. My disease still likes to talk to me, especially because I am young. My disease likes to tell me, oh, you're only 22, you got like 8 more years, go out there, let's do it. And that's bullshit, it is. So today, I love the life I live. I don't want to die anymore, which is great because I always wanted to die. And it's amazing, I'm so grateful. I'm in school now, and I could never see myself doing the things I'm doing today, because like I said, it was just, I didn't think I'd be alive this long, honestly. And so to live the life that I have, like I heard this shared in so many meetings, it's like a fucking fairy tale. It really is, And I'm in school right now, which is something I never thought would happen. Last year, I just got my certification for the substance abuse counseling, and I'm in school working on an associate's degree right now. And these are all things that I didn't think were possible. And with the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, and with all of you, and with my higher power, my sponsor, it is possible. I just processed my 4-step with my sponsor, and I got some things off my chest that I thought I would never tell another human being in my life. And the freeingness, is freeingness a word? The experience. It is today, baby. Being able to experience freedom in such an amazing way. And even the simple things, even being up here and doing this shit, man, if you told me I was doing this 3 years ago, I would have thrown up at your face and told you to fuck off, because this is crazy. This program has helped me grow in so many aspects of my life, and just being open-minded when someone asks you to do service work, to say yes, even though it's midnight, it's past my bedtime, okay? And you know what, I said yes, because that's what I'm supposed to do to stay clean. You do service work, you do step work, you connect with other addicts, and you pray. I've been praying about this all day. I had people tell me, don't think about it until you get up there. So many people before I spoke, God will just speak through you and use you as a vessel. And it's really hard. It's really hard to tell someone with really bad anxiety, because I've been stressing over this for the past 2 months. But it's just crazy to think about how amazing my life has become with all to, the fellowship and my higher power, and being able to ask for help when I need it, being open-minded to be able to ask for help, because that was a big thing with me. Did not want to ask you for help. I didn't think I need a sponsor. My exact words were, I got myself into this mess, I can get myself out. That's some addict type shit right there. That's what that is. No, today I can ask for help. I ask for help when I need it. And all of you lovely people give me that help. And I'm so grateful. You know, with my higher power, it started out when I was first coming around. My higher power was a group in and of itself. And it's evolved since then. And it's evolved to what it is today. I have the relationship I have today with my higher power. So I'm just extremely grateful. The only thing, I made a lot of mistakes in early recovery, but the only thing I did right was I didn't use any drugs. And I'm really, really, really grateful. I can't say that enough. But just being able to do things like this is just amazing. I forgot what I was saying. I'm really nervous. I want to close it with this line from the basic text, We Do Recover, page 91. It says, there is no model of the recovering addict. When the drugs go and the addict works the program, wonderful things happen, lost dreams awaken, and new possibility arises. Not when the addict, not when Kobe works Kobe's program, not when the addict works the addict's program, when an addict works the program, a program. So that's all I have. Thank you so much.
That was Kobe, everybody. Thank you very much. And with our next speaker is Shelby. Come on up here, Shelby. Give her a warm welcome.
Oh, this is terrifying. Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Shelby. I'm an addict. My clean date's 8/28/18, so I just got my year. Thank you. Like, really, really good, like, I can't, like, grammar. This is really cool for me just because, like, I just recently moved, so, you know, it was really hard to move to a new area with only one person, and luckily that person is somebody that I really was glad I was moving with. And then, you know, I got my year while I was gone, so it was like I missed my family. So this is a newcomer panel. You know, like most things in my life, no bullshit, I do not prepare for anything. So I did not prepare for this other than the car ride home, constantly telling my boyfriend how nervous and how maybe we should just drive back. But I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you and be like, oh, I was super prepared and I'm not nervous at all. So I remember my first times in the room. When I got clean was the first time I got clean. It was my first attempt to get clean and my first thought of being clean. Before then, I never really considered being clean. You know, I was just like okay with where I was in my life. You know, I knew I wasn't in a good place, but I was okay with that. You know, I knew fully aware of where that road was gonna lead me, and I just said, okay, that's cool. As long as I can keep using and I can keep doing what I'm doing, put me in a grave and I'll be happy, right? I had a lot of things in my life that I never really wanted to face and to admit and to look at. So for me, drugs were, that was how I wanted to go out because I was comfortable using at the time. And so when I got clean, I was actually dating a guy who went to rehab and I kind of was just like, okay, that sucks. But, you know, he looked at me, and I remember, you know, it was just one of those things that you don't forget. I remember before I dropped him off at rehab, like, he looked at me, and he begged me to get help. And I didn't know what he was talking about. Like, I was just like, what do you mean? And he, you know, in the whole course of me using, he was basically, you know, one of the only people in my life. I had shut everybody out. My friends that I knew for years and years, I shut out completely like that. Like, I didn't even hesitate. So nobody knew what I was really going through and what was going on in my life except this one person. So everybody who would tell me, like, kind of have an idea that I was using a lot of drugs, they knew me when I was smoking weed, but they didn't know me when I started doing harder drugs and started doing everything and selling and doing things that could seriously kill me or screw up my life. they would try and say, hey, you need to get help. And I'm like, you don't know what's going on. Like, I'm fine. So for this guy to tell me, like, hey, you need to get help, he was the only one who actually saw what I was doing with myself. And he told me, you know, like, at the time I was about 94 pounds. You know, I hadn't eaten in days. And I was just like, he broke down crying and was like, you need to get help. And so I was like, okay, well, we're not focusing on me. You know, that's my mentality in life is that, okay, this isn't about me. Like, I'm fine. Like, you need to focus on yourself. I'll deal with me whenever I have a couple seconds, right? Like, I'm always on, like, not even a back burner. Like, I'm just not even on the stove. Like, I don't put myself there. So I didn't worry about it. And then, you know, he went to rehab and I stopped using because my using buddy was gone and he was also my connection and took all the numbers with him. So, you know, it took me, I didn't know what to do because I was like kind of on my own. And it was the first time I was genuinely just on my own. I had no friends left. I had nobody. Like, I mean, nobody. And it was hard. Like, the day I dropped him off, I literally cried. Wasn't because I was sad he was leaving, and that's kind of fucked up to say, but it was sad because I lost the last person in my life. You know, I had my parents, and I had coworkers, but, like, I did not feel any connection towards any of these people. Like, anybody who I kind of cared about was just gone. And so, you know, I remember my last day using, like everybody else probably does, you know. I took whatever pills I had left, which was barely enough to actually get me high, let alone do anything. And I remember laying there and praying for the first time in years, and I just asked God to kill me, just kill me right then. I didn't want to wake up, and I was okay with that. And I did. I woke up, and it sucked. I woke up, I almost passed out trying to walk to the bathroom, because by then it had been a week since I had last had a meal. And then I looked at myself and I was like, this is not good. So I stopped and I didn't do anything. But that's the thing, I didn't do anything. You know, I wasn't using, but I wasn't doing anything. And so I was constantly fighting myself. Like, I just didn't know what to do. And I was miserable. I was detoxing. I was by myself. And I was at a Kroger. I worked at Kroger. And I'm detoxing at work and people are screaming at me. So it was not fun. And I had nobody to talk to. So I remember the guy that I was dating at the time told me, like, go to NA, go to AA, go somewhere, and just do something. And, you know, I didn't really want to go to AA just because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't an alcoholic. I didn't drink. So I was like, that's not going to work, and I don't have an excuse. So he was like, go to NA. So I was like, okay. So I didn't go for about a week. And then I decided to show up. I had a group right down the road from where I was living, so I walked in. And by then I was 2 weeks clean, but I was really like, I was clean, but I wasn't mentally clean, you know? Like, drugs hadn't been in my body, but I didn't sit there and say, I don't want to use anymore. I just hadn't put drugs in my body. So I get into that, meeting, and I was literally so terrified of what I was experiencing. I'm not a social person. I wasn't when I was using, and I wasn't when I was sober. I'm still not a very social person. And it's just who I am. So for me to walk into the meeting, I was terrified getting out of my car. But what happened next was weird, but now it's astounding to me. I got hugged. I walked up to the table. If you've ever been to OCB, I was at OCB, and you know how there's a table outside where everybody sits and smokes. I walked up to the table, and I said, is this where the NA meeting is? And like four people got up, and you know, because there was like five out there, and they were like, yeah, this is where it is. Welcome. And everybody hugged me, and I was like, why are y'all touching me? And it was weird for a bunch of strangers that I didn't know at an NA meeting to hug me at the time. And I was just terrified. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here. But I was told to come to an NA meeting. And so here I am. And I sat through the meeting, and I'm not gonna lie, I loved it. Obviously, I'm still here. But at the time, I was like, I love this, but I'm not going to tell anybody I like this, right? Because I'm not doing this. I don't want it to do that. I'm not doing this for fun, you know? I'm doing this because this guy told me to come to an NA meeting. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I loved it, because that just makes him right. So, you know, I kept going, though, because I had people there. After the meeting, all the girls that were there, all the women that were there, they gave me their phone number. You know, all of them told me to just come back. They texted me that night And they, you know, were like, hey, I'm really glad I saw you there. It was amazing. Please, please come again. You know, because like they made me text them, like they had my number. And so they all texted me that night, and I was like, these people are talking to me. And I had felt so alone for 2 weeks, in the most two miserable weeks of my life. To have somebody start talking to me was just so relieving. So I went back, because I just wanted people around me. I happened to be around people who understood what was going on with me at the time. I had no idea. It was the first time I was ever getting clean. So all the things that were going on, I had no help. Nobody knew that could actually help me. I wasn't in a rehab. I was doing this on my own, and that was awful. And then when I got here, I wasn't on my own anymore. And after that day, I was never on my own again. I really wasn't, you know? I've gone through a lot of things in my life that haven't been so good, and I've gone through a lot of things in my life that have been absolute blessings. And all the blessings are really due to the things that the program has given me and the fellowship has given me. You know, a lot of people talk about how they're two separate things. There's the program and the fellowship, and I agree. You know, I've gotten things in my life, like, not like physically gotten, but like I've gotten things in my life because of the program, because I've worked the program. I have a good life because I've worked the program. You know, being clean, and not just being clean and working a program has given me so many more things in my life, opportunities in my life that I didn't have before, that I didn't want before. You know, I'm back in school too. Like, I didn't want to go to school. I dropped out of school because I was using. Like, and I was okay with that. I was okay working at, I was working at 24-hour fitness, and I was like, this is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life, because I can get high and come to work. And that was what I was okay with. And now I'm like, I'm trying to get a career. Like, right now, while I'm in school, I have a job at, like, State Farm, and I'm trying to get my insurance license, because I don't wanna just be the receptionist while I'm there. You know, and my boss is pushing me, and I'm like, okay, I failed my test. So yeah, I failed my first exam, which is actually normal. And instead of getting that failed test and going, well, time to put some Adderall in my body and either try again or just give up, I was just like, okay. I called my boyfriend. I was like, I failed, but I'm just going to take it again. I know what I need to study this time. I know what I did wrong. I'm going to take it again. So things like that is what the program has given me. What the fellowship has given me is a family. And it's giving me so much more than just a family. I mean, like, I don't know what else to call y'all, because I feel like, for me, family's not the right word. I'm close with my family, but I'm not close with my family. But, like, with everybody in the fellowship, it's more than just, like, family. There are things I talk to some of y'all about that I will never talk to another soul about, because they wouldn't understand to me. And even if I try, it's just not the same. You know, like I said, I recently moved to Killeen, and it's weird being without, not in Houston, for one, I grew up here, and then not with my family. And so, you know, it's hard. You know, I'm grateful that I have my boyfriend with me, but I don't have my other part of the family, you know? He's like 99% of it, because I gotta say, because he's right here. y'all are like the other half. But the thing is, I haven't been able to come to a meeting since I left. You know, we get to come down on the weekends, but that's about it. And we hang out with my parents, and then we leave. So I haven't been able to make it to a meeting here. And I walk in today, and everybody comes and runs at me and gives me hugs, and it's like I never left. And that's the best feeling from somebody who never really had that growing up and never really wanted that either, where I was like kind of nervous. I was like, people are going to see me, and they're going to be like, oh, you left. That's not even it. Like, I was being stupid. Like, I walk in and everybody's like, hey, how are you doing? How's Killeen? Like, y'all are happier to see me than my family was. But I truly love what I've been given, you know? Like, I wanted to fight it, and I didn't want to commit, because that's me. Like, I don't commit to things, because I just give up. I have, like, ADHD, and I have monthly projects, and I thought this was going to be one of them, where I just be a part of NA for a month and then get bored and move on, because that's what I do. But I haven't done that, because no part of NA is just the same thing all the time. You work the steps, you finish them, you work them again for something different that you want to work on. So, like, no part of NA has given me an excuse to be like, well, I'm bored, let's leave or do something else, you know? And it's a great thing to have that kind of stability in my life for going from somewhere where I didn't have any stability, whether it was money, a place to stay, what drug I was on even. Like, there was no stability in my life. And so now I have that stability, and from that stability, I have calmness. And I can be calm in really tough times because I either can talk to my family about them, or I just know that my higher power's got me and using isn't the answer. I don't need to. And that's worked. You know, a lot of other things worked, like working the steps and stuff. But for me, knowing that I'm not by myself is a huge one. I remember I wanted to use in not long ago, but it was pretty good a couple months into my clean time, and I kind of just wanted to give up. I wasn't at a good place, and I just really wanted to give up. I didn't care, and I had signed it off, and I said, I'm okay with giving up. I don't want to stay clean, not for me. I have no reason to right now, and I just wasn't in a good place. But every time I came, I still went to my meetings, though, because I wasn't 100% on that, obviously, because I still went to meetings. And in that course of going to the meetings, for the time being, I saw all these people who would come up to me and would ask me how I'm doing. And it's like, I don't want to give up because I don't want to disappoint y'all. Y'all look at me like, you can do this. You're so young and you're in recovery. Like, that's amazing. Like, I'm so proud of you. And at the time, I was like, I don't want to let these people down. You know, I don't want to be selfish in a sense. And for a little bit, that carried me, right? That carried me and kept me clean until I could reevaluate why I was in these rooms and why I was clean. And that was for me and me alone. I didn't come in the rooms for me, and sometimes I didn't want to stay in here for me. But at the end of the day, one thing that I've gotten from this program is that I'm clean because I want to live. I want to stay alive. I want to have a life now. I have an opportunity for a good life. I don't want to throw it away anymore. I don't want to die. And that was a huge thought in my head for my entire life. Not even when I was using. Before I even started using, that was the one thing I wanted to do more than anything was die. I can remember a time when I was maybe 12 and I had things going on at home, and that was my solution. I tried to kill myself when I was 12. Like, I didn't want to live. I started using and I didn't want to live. But now I'm clean and I'm in the program and I'm so happy that all I want to do is live. You know, I may have an introverted way of doing it, but I want to live, you know, and I want to be around. I have goals in my life now, but those are things that I've only gotten because I've worked this program, that I stayed committed, and I didn't just kind of give up halfway through like I do with everything else in my life, you know. I don't know if that was on topic, but so I think, you know, coming in here has really been a huge miracle impact on my life for me as a new recovering addict, especially since I never really attempted to come in before. I was very grateful and very fortunate that when I did make it to these rooms, I had nothing but open arms from every single person. You know, I'm the kind of person that I stay in one little bubble, so I thought I was just going to stay at OCB and never leave OCB and never go to another meeting. And if you want to meet me, you come to my group. And then I went to another meeting. I went to Third Coast, and Third Coast ended up becoming my home group. And I, you know, if you go to Third Coast, there are a lot of people there. So I met a lot of people, and I met this kid. And so because I met him, I went to Jekyll and Hyde. And then I started going to Jekyll and Hyde every single Sunday. So, and then, you know, for prom, when we went to Hackney prom, the day before I went to TSTB. And so, like, I started getting out of my bubble, and I stopped being that weird little introverted person where it's like, if you want to meet me, come to OCB, and then you have to approach me, and you have to say hi, because I'm going to be too nervous to say hi to you, right? Like, I enjoy doing it, you know? I was, you know, chairing meetings. I was doing things that I would never have done in my life. And I probably wouldn't do it outside of NA, I'm gonna be real with you. Like, you won't see me at school being like, I volunteer. Because y'all are my family, so I feel comfortable here. But, you know, it's the things that I've learned here have carried on to my life, though. I tried to go to a NA meeting over in Killeen, and I had to have a really big open mind. And really big open mind. They do things differently, but that's not bad. they do things a little differently, but it's still, at the end of the day, Narcotics Anonymous. Doesn't matter how the meetings run, doesn't matter how long it is, it's very long. It's very long. I had to leave at 9 and it started at 7:30 and it wasn't over. It wasn't a marathon meeting. It wasn't. It was a real meeting. But it was still Narcotics Anonymous. We read the same things and we had the same serenity prayer and we all had the same thing, an addiction to drugs that we wanted to get help for. So, but that willingness and open-mindedness that Kobe was talking about, like, if I don't have that, what am I going to do when I leave Houston? Say I'm not going to be a part of NA anymore? I'm not going to do this anymore? I'm either going to just ride it out on my own or start using again? So that wasn't really an option. I had to do it. You know, I didn't want to, but I had to because I was afraid of change. Then I went, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't Houston, because, you know, H-Town, but it wasn't bad. And so I had that open-mindedness, and I wouldn't have done that if I just hadn't, you know, learned the three basic things: open-mindedness, willingness, and I just lost my breath brain. But so what I want to finish saying, because I want to stop talking, is that being a newcomer is terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying because you're coming into a new thing that you don't know, people you may not know, and a world you don't know if you're ready for. But because of every single person I've ever met in Narcotics Anonymous, being a newcomer is one of the best things that has ever happened to me. Like, I come in here terrified and I leave. Well, I don't leave. That's the thing. I don't leave. I come in here terrified and then I stay for the rest of my life. And I be a part of things. I be active. That's not grammatically correct. I am active, you know? So if I had to ever say anything to a newcomer afraid of Narcotics Anonymous, it's, you can be afraid. Nobody can deny you your feelings. I learned that here, okay? Nobody can deny you your feelings. It's how you feel. But don't be so afraid that you don't come back. Because if you're scared of one thing, maybe that meeting, go to a different meeting. There are hundreds. It's all over the world. There's a lot in Houston, there's all over the world. So if you don't like a meeting, go to a different one. It's probably different. You know, if you didn't like somebody there or one thing that was said, try a different time. Don't just give up, you know? I was fortunate to come to the right meeting at the right time in my life, and other people may not be, but that's not a reason they should just give up on getting clean. You know, it takes people some time, and it may take somebody not any time. I know people with multiple clean dates who are just as amazing as people with one clean date. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that we're all here for the same thing, and that is to be clean and to try and have a better life than what we came in here having. And that's something that we all share in common. It doesn't matter if you're 30 years older than me, you're my age, or you're on a completely different wavelength and you weren't listening to anything I say because you just didn't feel like it. It doesn't matter. You know, we're all one big family and we're all here for the same thing. And it's an amazing thing that we're here for. And I'm so glad that I got to be here today. As nervous as I was, it wasn't too bad. So thank you for listening to me.
Amazing. Thanks. So we have two more for your enjoyment, and the next one we have available is not you. I'm just kidding. Sam.
I was sentenced in that I came in the paper to sign. Those motherfuckers signed it. I came in seeing every single difference between me and those island people. And there were plenty. On the clean date I have now, October 18th, if you look in that Just For Day book, they read from sometimes, and people have some of them. It says, although politics makes us strange bedfellows, addiction makes us one of a kind. I found every single difference between a lot of rooms and me, and that set me apart. You know, I came into the rooms with a college degree. I came in with a car that was made that year. I came in with enough money in my pocket to buy myself a fancy dinner that night. You know? And I used over all that shit. People at Gigna had some shit I didn't have. They had the ability to be honest with themselves and other people. They had the ability to share openly and vulnerably about their assets and their defects. They had a sense of humility about themselves, which is humanness from what I've come to learn. I didn't have that shit. I came to Narcotics Anonymous with a desperation and a rock bottom that compared to y'all didn't really seem that bad. And you know, I've learned to not compare misery in this program. I've learned the misery I had when I came in here does not disqualify the misery I sometimes still suffer from today. I'm in a program today that in the business of making miracles, you know. My mother would have paid any fucking price she could have to get the person she thought her son was back in her life. And unfortunately, there was no price tag on my recovery. However, $15,000 is what a lawyer costs, about $2,400 to put me through an outpatient, and about $1,500 to bail my ass out of jail is what I racked up on her taxes last time through. She was gonna pay off my student loans that year. I got clean out of being indebted to that woman. And you know, not like piss test clean, but like clean, clean. I got clean long enough to make it through an outpatient. I got that outpatient and kept asking me if I had a sponsor. And I was making meetings as well. I got clean long enough to hear a message of recovery. I got sick of being asked to have a sponsor, so I got a sponsor. You know? That sponsor said something to me that I still remember to this day, which is our basic tax is $13, our step working guide is $10. If you don't have it, we'll talk about it. And if you do a step a week, you're done in 90 days, and the less work you do, the easier it is for me. And I thought that motherfucker thought that I wouldn't go work steps. And somewhat, out of pettiness, because I love proving people wrong. Somewhat because I was desperate and I was just willing to try something different. I worked one step a week and I was done in 13 weeks because he took a vacation one time because he does that shit. Let me back up. That first meeting I made at Gigna, I was the most different person in the room. I eventually graduated college, moved to Houston. I made some meetings in Houston. One of the first meetings I made was the Sooner the Better group of Narcotics Anonymous. I was the only straight person in that meeting. I said, this is gay recovery. I need straight recovery on balance. The next meeting I made was Alive and Kicking. I was the only white person in that room. And that was black recovery, and I need to go find some white recovery. Thank God I have not found a group of people that look, act, dress, do the same drugs and are exactly like me. It would probably be a shitty ass meeting. I've been in plenty of meetings where I was the only one that looked like me, talked like me, acted like me, came from the same family background. And I feel closer to those people in those rooms than I have in my own fucking family. Although addiction, you know, politics makes us strange bedfellows, addiction makes us one of a kind. Survivors of a fatal disease. You know, the disease in the business of putting people in ditches, out of jobs, robbing parents of their children, and children of their parents. I've met people in these rooms that are you know, miracle. I didn't believe in miracles when I got here, you know, but I saw a group of people that proved to me, and, you know, but they used like I did, clean for 24 hours. That was miraculous when I got here. It's still a miracle to see today. If you're still sick and suffering addict in this room today, I'm happy you're here. Keep coming back. It doesn't get better, but I've noticed the more work I put into my recovery, I get a little bit better by dealing with it. If you're not still sick, suffering addict in here in this room, thank you for coming and bringing some experience, strength, and hope to the rest of us. The misery I felt when I got here is not disqualified the misery I feel today sometimes. I've been through plenty of no matter what situations that would put my ass in a perfect situation to get high over back in the day, which was any situation, honestly. In a little under 3 years clean, I totaled the car with 5 months clean. I've never been broken up with before my entire life, you know. I was a real narcissist, a master manipulator, and I always did codependence, and they weren't going anywhere, but eventually, you know, I'd find the next one, and that's the way I lived my life. And I got dumped for the first time, clean. That shit sucked. I never had a faithful relationship before either until this program. I had a 2-year faithful relationship, and I learned that, you know, some of these spiritual principles are intrinsic. And that means that when she left, the self-esteem I got from being able to have a faithful relationship didn't. My clean date didn't, my recovery didn't. My faith in this program didn't. Because the first thing I did was I called my sponsor. First thing I did was call a man who I was, I think, recently bitching about that dude never called me. And I told him, you know, I was in a situation where I wasn't feeling, you know, too much like a winner that day. They say a day clean is a day one. I've spent plenty of days feeling like, you know, not hashtag not winning, that's the one, yeah. And he called me back the next day. He called me back the day after that. Thank God for sponsorship, man. Thank God for service. I lost more than drugs when drugs left my life. You know, it wasn't just a way to get high for me anymore. It was a 24/7 way to live. My disease ran my life. Every decision I made, you know, every endeavor I saw, you know, was through my disease, through drugs. And, you know, I had a solution 4 fucking blocks down the street. I was selling drugs 4 blocks from that meeting. I lost all sense of purpose when drugs left my life. I lost all sense of connection. I lost all way to deal with myself and other people. And I say all that to say that, you know, that sense of purpose, the connections I had, the way to deal with myself and y'all was, you know, I wanted something different. I thought I had found that a drug was a pretty good fucking solution for a while, to be honest. It kept me alive long enough to find these rooms. But I've been to jail. I've been to institutions. Y'all told me we were slowly killing ourselves when I got here. I mean, the good news for me was I was fucking dying. The bad news is it was taking too long. I had a lot of 12-step moments in this program. One of them was, you know, being addicted to having a guy at the very first meeting say, "This is our white key tag, this is the best white shit in town." I thought that shit was hilarious. I didn't think you could have that kind of sick, sweet, twisted sense of humor in these rooms. Because I knew every fucking thing about y'all before I even got here. I've been proven wrong plenty of times. That was one of them. I didn't have purpose in my life when I got here. I remember being 3.5 months clean. I've been coming to this meeting just in time. Saturday literature study at noon, if you're interested in checking it out. I remember being there. I was probably coming for like 2 months straight, and, you know, 3.5 months clean, a guy's turn was up, chairing the meeting. He looked at me and said, "Does anybody else want to chair this meeting next month?" And I caught the eyes, and I seen him raise my hand, said, "Maybe, yeah, I guess." And I showed up to a meeting 4 times that month. I read a laminated piece of paper. And I felt purpose back in my life again. I kept a commitment. I made a commitment. You know, doing a step a week was, well, I've come to find out, not common. But my sponsor met me just in time every single week, processed the step that I had done. I never, you know, I hadn't kept a commitment like that in a while. You could count on me not to count it all before these fucking rooms. I've developed, a sense of self-worth, a sense of self-esteem by doing esteemable things. One of them is, you know, if I say I'm going to fill a service commitment, I'm the one who fills it. I had an addict at that same meeting one day describe God as good orderly direction. Thought he was a fucking guru. You know, my jaw dropped, I was like, he's been searching that shit. Must be quite the philosophizer. Come to find out it's not literature. But still, that was a huge 12-step moment for me. I had a shit taste in my mouth when I got here about God. And good orderly direction is something that I can get on board with. I've had good orderly direction my whole life. I've had it from my mother. Told me plenty of times, don't drive drugs in your car, man. Those are the first two times with drugs in my car, man. I've had plenty of managers, co-workers, you know, friends, family give me good orderly direction. I've never been, you know, too good at getting advice. So I waved goodbye to it and went on with my disease, you know, shit. But today I can get on board with that, you know? Doesn't matter what it is, you know, I've heard plenty of analogies, my sponsor's got plenty of them. But man, Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous, you know, spiritual principles, 12 steps, you know, my home group, you know, the miracles I've seen in this program are still a higher power good enough for me today to restore me to sanity. If you didn't like me when I got here, there was something fucking wrong with you. And I was pretty picky about who I liked when I got here, because there was plenty of shit fucking wrong with y'all. I came in here out of a treatment facility, and I didn't, you know, again, like, I didn't pick up a white king tag, planning on coming and sharing here, having none, or having service commitments, or going to fucking McAllen for the regional service committee. I got clean because I was desperate. I come to find out that I have an overly sensitive ego, as it's put in our literature. Maybe suffering from an overly sensitive ego. And you know, I expected everybody to like me, but I definitely did not like me when I got here. I shared like an asshole when I got here. I wasn't sharing to, you know, from my experience, I was sharing to fix y'all, because y'all needed help, right? And I shared at every fucking meeting. Nobody ever told me, you know, sit down and shut the fuck up, motherfucker. There's the door, there's, you know, the bug, pick your one, you know, we don't need to hear from you, but you know how to get high, we know how to recover. Nobody ever said that shit to me. People said, keep coming back. We will love you till we, you know, you can love yourself. There's your chair, there's the free coffee, share as much bullshit as you want. I've learned that unconditional love means I don't have to like y'all. I know plenty of people did not like me. And all they offered me was a hug, a seat, an experience, strength, and hope for the addict who still suffers. Because as much of a smiley face I had when I got here, as much as I love cracking jokes and pretending like I had all my shit together, because I waited until I had like a couple days clean at least, because I didn't want to seem too fucked off, you know, when I got here. People love me unconditionally. I've been able to do the same thing for y'all. I still don't like all y'all. I have the blessing today that I get to pick and choose who I hang around with and associate with. I have genuine relationships today due to the fact that I've been a genuine person lately. But regardless if I don't like you, my home group is the sooner the better group of Narcotics Anonymous. 7 meetings a week, coffee's free. Come and share any bullshit you want. I've learned I don't have to like myself to still show myself unconditional love. I've learned that I still can do some throw it off shit clean. But back in the day, if I started a diet and I was like, you know, over it on day two, I was like, I ain't fucking doing shit anymore, I ain't fucked up. I got plenty of excuses today. There are plenty of good excuses to go get high with this shit today. There ain't just no good reasons. I remember I was going through some shit and I was too scared to tell my sponsor because I didn't want to judge me. And I got a dream where I was drinking, I didn't want to tell him. I woke up and I called him and I got honest. And the exact same thing happened the first time I was going through my fifth step with him. And he just said, yeah, no, it's okay, that makes you, yeah, you're fine. Yeah. What are you gonna do about it? Still love you. Thank God for sponsorship. Thank God for service. I held a constant service position since I had 3.5 months clean at that first meeting. I had the same sponsor since I, you know, called a random ass dude and said, will you be my sponsor? I've had the same home group since I got here. And that home group was throw the fuck off when I got there. Still is. But what my home group is my home group. I'm going to pick and choose my family. I would have definitely had a richer one if I could have. And today, regardless of who else chooses to call TST their home group, I hope they keep coming back regardless if I like them or not. Not every day is great, but I am damn grateful to have every day I've had so far. You know, I'm done hanging around with victims of this disease. I victimized myself. I hung around people who aren't here anymore. And I'm happy today to be in a room full of survivors of this disease. Yeah. Yeah. In for a fucking great weekend, party with some drug addicts. I'd like to thank ACNA for asking me. I tried not to say fuck that much. I did. With that comes like having me afterwards if you haven't already, get to know me. Love y'all. Bye.
That was sad. We got one more to close this out. If you did not know and you stumbled in this newcomer speaker jam, this meeting goes till 1:15. So if you need to go out and get your coffee, feel free, but we ain't closing yet. We got one more speaker. His name is Michael. Michael, come on up here.
They said this water's free, so I'm going to take it. Give me a second, y'all, if you want to do your thing, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, what you want, dude? It's good.
Anybody else? $1, $2, $3, $4, $5?
$6, water? Okay.
All right. Anyway, so, hi, I'm Michael, I'm an addict. Yeah, it's definitely past my bedtime, but, you know, I was, like, looking at the clock. I was like, oh, maybe it's 1 o'clock, you know, maybe I can get out of this. But either way, I'm up here, man. And I have a bunch of stuff on my phone, but now that I have water on my finger, this is really bad. Anyway, I'm just going to put that down, I guess. But, you know, it's crazy that... I was asked to speak, and thanks for everybody before me who spoke, and thank you for asking me, you know, and thank you, Ronnie, for doing this. But when I first tried to stop using, you know, like, because all I can think about is, you know, in the literature where it says that many of us ended up in jails or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us, you know. Because, you know, until I came into the Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I had tried to get clean, I had tried to stop using. That's really what it was. You know, I was abstinent for however long, you know. Having my mom pray over me, my pastor pray over me didn't work. I couldn't stay clean, you know. I went to multiple mental institutions, couldn't stay clean, you know. And it wasn't until I walked in that, you know, I heard other addicts, you know, like that identification just came over me, man, you know. Because I remember my first meeting, I was in an outpatient program at a psych hospital, and they said, oh, you should go to meetings, right? Because, like, I was like, dude, I'm on this pink cloud. I'm going to be clean for the rest of my life. Like, watch me. I've done it before. You know, I've been 8 months clean, you know, duh, right? And they're like, well, what happens, like, after 8 months, right? You know, because, like, for me, it was definitely, you know, I came to the end of the road, you know, and I couldn't function as a human being, either with or without drugs. And I was always just left with the same thing, just what is there left to do, you know? And for me, that answer was using until I came into NA, you know? And, you know, I was in there, and this buddy of mine, he's clean today now, you know? He said, hey man, we should go to a meeting. There's a meeting up in Katy at 8 o'clock on Saturday, right? Text me, right? I was like, okay, cool, right? So I text him, it's like Saturday at like 6:30, like, hey man, we're going to the meeting? No answer. And I was like, fuck. I was like, what do I do, you know? And I was like, dude, I don't know what to do. Like, I need to go to this meeting, you know? Like, for some reason, there's this just drive. I was like, I have to go. Like, what if they're there and I'm not, you know? Like, what if, like, this could actually help by now, you know? Like, and so I actually called. I was one of the addicts that called the phone line, you know? I looked it up. I was like, NA Houston, you know? Narcotics Anonymous meetings, Katy. And then, you know, some dude, I thought it was supposed to be super professional too. Some dude answered the phone. He's like, hey, you know, how's it going? I was like, dude, I need to make it to a meeting in Katy at 8. And he was like, I don't know of any meetings in Katy. And he's like, well, let me check, you know? And so he pulled it up, you know, and I was like, oh, can you just send me it in an email or something? And he was like, no, dude. And so I had to, like, find a piece of paper, you know, and do all that shit. But I was like, I'm going to fucking make it to this meeting, you know? And so I did. And I showed up, and I sat in front of, I think it was Weed to Recover or something. And, like, they asked me at the beginning, they were like, hey, do you want to read? Because it came up to, like, that reading. And I was like, no. And I just passed it away. They're like, okay, you know, like, because I was like deer in the headlights. You should have seen me, man. It was like, you could probably see it on my face. Like, I was just sitting there at the end of this table, like, just like, uh-huh, yeah, I'm here, guys, cool, right on. I don't know any of you guys, so. But, you know, I remember I was in there, and, you know, this guy I still keep in contact with today, you know, he said something that it was the only thing I remembered, except for that an addict was in there who had a friend who died because of this disease, you know. And, you know, he talked about, you know, it was a just for today topic. He talked about how, you know, as addicts lead different lives, right? You know, we were always doing one thing or another depending on who we were with, right? We were always, you know, like, I was one person at home, you know, trying to, like, act not high around my parents. And then I was like one person with my friends, you know, I had created this person to do the things that I did, right? Whatever it meant, you know? And I identified with that, you know? And I was like, this is what I needed to hear. This is where I need to be. And, you know, people came up to me after the meeting, they gave me a phone list. People who aren't here today, you know? And they told me, you know, call me anytime. And, you know, I eventually did, you know. And, you know, it's cool to, you know, see that, because, you know, that was in 2015. My clean date is
5/28/2016, you know, and for that I'm truly grateful. But, you know, when I was in the first time around, I was 20 years old, and I was just hanging out. I was like, this is way better than using, but, you know, like, work, homework, what? I had just dropped out of college, man. I don't want to go back, right? I'm finally free, dude, you know? But, you know, I tried to go back to school, still wasn't willing. I, you know, when I went to work to SEP, because I got a sponsor, because those people at the outpatient program, they were like, hey, man, you should get a sponsor, right? You should get a sponsor. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll get a sponsor. I went to the meeting. They do the whole raise their hand if you, you know, who's available to be a sponsor. You know, this dude across the thing from me, you know, said some good shit in the meeting, and I was like, you're my sponsor, right? He's like 7 foot tall. He's probably running around, you know. And he was like, okay, well, what you need these two books, right? And read the, you know, read it, do step one, and then, you know, like, call me every day, you know? Like, you get to know me, man, you know? Like, cool, right on. I didn't call him. And then I called him, and I was like, hey, well, one day I called him, and I said, hey, I'm ready to do step one. I read the first chapter of the basic text, and I was like, that's step one. And I was like, great, let's do it, guy. Like, I'm ready. It's it. We're ready to go. I go in, and I'll just, disclaimer, like, I'm a great example of what not to do, you know. So I meet him up at the Starbucks coffee shop, right, in Cinco Ranch. And he had just finished processing a step with another sponsee of his. And so he he's like, okay, man, so where's your material here? And I was like, oh, I left it at home. Didn't do it. Classic, you know, like, dog ate my homework, you know, thing. And because, like I said, I don't do homework, you know. And he, good example of what not to do. And he, you know, he surprised me, man. He said, okay, well, you know, do you think you can remember it? And we opened up the flat book, and we did all, like, 68 to 73 questions in the flat book, like, right there. He told me, you know, if the answer is I don't know, that's okay, but, you know, we're going to get through this, right? And, you know, that was my first introduction to the steps, you know. And, you know, I even looked back, you know, when I came back in this time around and saw what, you know, I had written, and it is completely different from my step work today. You know, it's almost fucking unreadable, you know, like, it was weird. I was like, who is this person, you know? I think it must have been a fucked up place, you know? But, you know, there's that badass, you know, section. It says, recovery as experienced through the 12 steps is our goal, not mere physical abstinence. To improve ourselves takes effort, and since there's no way in the world to graft a new idea on a closed mind, an opening must be made somehow. And, you know, I'd love to say that, you know, the first time around that opening was made, you know, but it wasn't. You know, I had still kept going, you know, with other addicts that were clean, right, to, like, the beach, you know, and they were like, oh, hey, you know, my girlfriend's got, you know, something, you know, you want one. And I was like, you know, y'all are doing it. Fuck it, right? You know? And it was just like, and I kept, you know, going back, you know, and I remember one time I was like, hey, sponsor. And he lived literally across the street from my home group, right? I call him up. I'm like, dude, I'm going to get my fucking 90 days, dude. All I wanted was the red key tag, you know? I was like, dude, I want that shit. And I was like, dude, I'm going to get my 90 days, like, today, dude. You going to come celebrate with me? And he's like, oh, well, yeah, I can see if I can make it. I got some things to do, you know, all this stuff's going on, you know. I'm like, okay, cool, if you don't. And by the way, you know, I was at the beach this weekend, you know, and I had a beer. And he was like,
well, you can't pick up that key tag then. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean? Like, that's the one I wanted. It's not like I did actual drugs, right? But, you know, I learned today that alcohol is a drug, right? You know, and I had to be clean, you know, clean, not just like here. I couldn't pick and choose, you know, like I couldn't work Michael's program, right? Because I'll get to that later too, you know. But he was like, okay, well, dude, you know, do what you do, like, but you shouldn't pick up that key tag. And I was like, all right, dude, love you, man, bye. And I click, you know, like, hung up the phone, and I was like, I'm gonna go get that fucking key tag, dude. So I show up in my home group, it's Monday, just for today, and I'm like, yeah, dude, can get my 90-day key tag. Walk in, he's fucking sitting on the couch, dude. And I'm like, fuck! And then, so I'm like, okay, well, I probably shouldn't get the key tag, but like, if I do, is it really gonna matter? Is he gonna talk to me after? Okay, we'll play it by ear. Then the just for today is on honesty, you know, and I'm like, God damn it, dude, you know? And so I was like, all right, I'll come clean, you know? And so I picked up another white key tag, bawling, crying, you know? And once again, I would love to say that, you know, I got it right then, you know, but didn't, you know. And I went on, got a couple more white key tags from, you know, just being not willing to fully commit to this thing and accept that, you know, I'm an addict and I'm going to have to do this for the rest of my life. Because, you know, I was like 20. I was like, dude, what happens when I turn 21? What happens when I, like, you know, get married? What happens when I graduate college? What happens? What happens? What happens? You know, and it's like, if I get in this what-if train, you know, like, I'll just end up using, man. And that's what I did, you know, because it was New Year's, and that addict buddy from, you know, treatment called me. He's like, dude, come to this party, dude. Like, I've been doing it. And I'm in Atlanta. I hadn't been to a meeting in, like, a week and a half because I was traveling. And I was like, dude, are you drinking? And he's like, yeah, man, you know, I relapsed. It's cool. I'm like, well, I made it farther than him. Fuck yeah, you know? And I was like, dude, well, I'll see you when I get back to Houston, right? Click. I'm at my buddy's apartment in, you know, Atlanta. And I was like, okay, I'm going to have a glass of champagne because it's the new year, you know? Boom. Next, 1 minute? Fudge. Anyway. Dang. Wow, okay, that was fast. Anyway, but needless to say, you know, I had relapsed, right? And, you know, I came back in 3 months later with, you know, my ass tore off again, you know, just like it does. And I didn't, I was honestly okay. I was like, I'm going to do this because this is way better, right? Like, being clean is better. But I still had that in the back of my mind, like, okay, you know, I can handle alcohol, I can do this, I'll just do it with my family. And, you know, it was a major thing, you know, it was Memorial Day weekend, you know, 5/27, and I had a margarita with my family, and then the next day, 5/28/2016, I was in Galveston with my family, and they asked me, well, I flashed that 90-day key tag, so I finally got one, you know, and I was like, oh, I'm back in the program, you know, like talking to my cousins and stuff, and my sister said, well, if you're back in the program, how are you still drinking with us last night? I was like, you know what, you're right, and that was when I had to become accountable. I got honest, I became willing to do this, I came into the meeting. You know, 5/28/2016 is my clean date. And, you know, I'll just leave it with this, you know, because my life is truly changed by this program. And, you know, today, you know, it says we become able to make wise and loving decisions based on principles and ideas that have real value in our lives. By sharpening our thoughts with spiritual ideas, we are free to become who we want to be. What we had feared, we can now overcome through our dependence in a loving God. Faith has replaced our fear and given us the freedom to be ourselves. And the last one, you know, it says, we learn that conflicts are part of reality
and we learn new ways to resolve them instead of running from them. They are part of the real world. We learn not to become emotionally involved with problems. We deal with what is at hand and try not to force situations or force solutions. We have learned that if a solution isn't practical, it isn't spiritual. And so now, you know, I've learned to put, you know, a spiritual solution into practice right when I have a problem. I find those spiritual principles and I plug them into situations, and that gets me through the day, you know. And so now, today, I live on these spiritual principles, and I've got, you know, over 3 years clean. I'm employable. I have my own apartment. I pay my bills on time, most of the time. Day late, right? You know, and, you know, I'm able to live life today, you know, and be present in my life today. Because, you know, before, my family, you know, tolerated me, you know. Today, my family enjoys me, right? But that's it. That's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.